Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, fellow humans. I am delighted to be welcoming you to the Hot Mess Clubhouse, a new weekly podcast celebrating funny women. My name is Lucy Vine. I'm a writer, journalist, author, or if you're paying, whatever you need me to be. Every week I will be here speaking to a different comedian, author, actor, screenwriter, or anyone who makes me laugh. Which brings me to my very first guest, the incredible comedian Desiree Birch. She's the host of new Netflix game show Flinch, which started last week and is something like I'm a Celebrity, but actually even more horrifying. We talk about filming that alongside co-hosts Sean Walsh and Lloyd Griffith. We also talk loneliness, dating apps, and filming yourself having sex. Hope you enjoy this chat, and if you do, a review would be really so lovely. Hello, Desiree Birch.
Hi.
I'm so excited you're here today. Thank you so much for joining me. What have you been up to today? You said you were tired.
Oh my God. I don't know. Can I say fuck all?
Yeah.
I have that comedian performer schedule, so I mean, this is it is only half noon, and it is early for some of us. Yes,
sorry. To
I don't
drag
know.
You
it's
out.
Fine. I just don't have a personality until nightfall usually. So this should be interesting. But
you're living in London. Did you get here by the tube?
I did. Well, you know, tube and National Rail, because you know I'm living in London, which means Greater London.
Oh.
Isn't it great?
Yeah. And we, as British people, love talking about how we got to places.
Because I think everyone loves sort of bragging about how terrible their commute is.
Do you find that that is genuinely a British thing? Have you noticed how different, obviously you're American?
Yes, I am.
We also love weather.
That's kind of you to question. You thought I could have been Canadian there for a second.
Well, I didn't want to be offensive, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. You never offend an American, but you will offend a Canadian, so it's always good to.
Desiree, you are a very funny woman. That is why you're here.
Cheers,
thank you. The Hot Mess Clubhouse is for funny women.
Yeah, this
Welcome
is a very neat Hot Mess Clubhouse. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very orderly.
Where do you think your sense of humor comes from?
Survival instincts. I just realized early off that humor was the sort of grease in the wheels of society, because I was definitely not as, a fat kid, black kid, and very sort of white suburbia going to just naturally fit in. Everyone's like, hey, you're here. What the hell are you doing here?
Were you funny back then? Like, is it something you were just sort of always funny? Or has it?
Yeah,
you cultivate
I remember it? Figuring out that I was funny at like 5 because I could entertain the sort of, 6, 7, and 8-year-olds on the other side of the fence.
Did you put on shows?
I mean, it wasn't that like my parents would never have cared enough for me to stop what they were doing and to like put on a show for them. But I think that I just sort of held that internally, and also I just made sure to be a little bit clever so that people thought of me differently than I could tell they were thinking of me before I opened my mouth, you know? So it is just a way of being controlling. And I think everybody to a certain extent has certain narratives that are projected on them that they then have to work within or fight against. And if the narrative projected on you is very broad, vague, and not very sort of inclusive or flattering, you really do have to be very strategic about being like, this is who I am, and I really love for you to see who I am. So I'm going to try to find ways to express that still make you like me, because I'm like only a kid, so I don't want to piss anyone off just yet.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I do. I'm a middle kid, so that also feeds a lot into
Give
this
me
narrative.
Attention.
Yeah, or like, no, I'm alive. Yeah. Is anyone, you know?
But say, obviously it's a bit of a pseudoscience, but middle children are supposed to be the best.
They turn out the best.
Because benign neglect is actually really good for you.
Yeah, well, it does make you strive. A lot more, you know, I think so.
So how would you describe your sense of humor? Like, do you think it's funny when a stranger trips over? What kind of humor?
I mean,
what makes you laugh?
I think it's a combination of sort of filth, the absurd, and then the childish, too. I think that in part, it's sometimes the things that you shouldn't say or shouldn't think about or whatever, or the insights that somebody makes by connecting two divergent things, or just clowns, you know, like not literal, like, you know, party clowns, but there are lots of performers who are essentially just clowns who are clearly very intellectual people, but don't feel the need to show that off because that's very serious. And instead it hides in you know, one of the people that I watched growing up that I'm nothing like per se, but always admired is somebody like Carol Burnett.
Wow, right.
And yeah, and I mean, she's clearly brilliant, but like had no problem like getting contorting her body into like weird positions and just sort of being like, huh, like why is my head between my legs right now? And then like having that knowing look sort of to camera or knowing look to like, is anybody realizing how crazy this is? I think she's so brilliant. And but then at the same time, I obviously grew up liking stand-ups like someone like Richard Pryor, somebody like Bill Hicks, you know,
amazing.
People who are very socially and psychologically progressive and very honest and bare. And
yeah.
I think that those things are funny because they're what we're all looking for, that kind of intimacy and that kind of vulnerability. And it takes a lot to be able to bear that to people and to stand with that.
Yeah. I only discovered people like that when I was growing up. But I remember watching a lot of American telly, and they would make references to people like Carol Burnett and stuff like that. And it was always, I quite often felt like I wasn't part of a club. How do you feel about references like that? Like I'm thinking Will and Grace, like they had just constant references, cultural references that I did not understand.
I understand that very much now that I live here in this context,
sure.
because there are plenty of
references. Yeah, do you watch British telly that you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
are you
or just even
who's
in
Jimmy
comedy
Savile?
Clubs or whatever. Well, yeah, we know who Jimmy Savile is. I mean,
you might not have
never,
done 10 years ago.
yeah, no, exactly. I would not have done. But you get here and very quickly you suddenly learn that everyone's obsessed with pedos because.
Oh, we love
a
pedo.
You know, yeah, it's just like. Yeah. Wow, they are really everywhere. Everyone's touching him up on these kids. I sometimes feel similarly in, you know, there are plenty of shows that everybody saw growing up, you know, shops people go to.
Do you know what Woolworths is?
I assume that it's like a fancy or non-fancy shop. I have
super
no idea.
Non-fancy, yeah, but every town had a Woolworths.
Okay.
And everybody was obsessed with the pick and mix, and they shut them all down.
I feel like... Am I making up that we had Woolworths in the States too?
Did you?
And it was like a sort of, you know, drugstore, like a Walgreens or whatever. But it was like sort of a department. It was like part Debenhams and part, you know, whatever, just like your boots
just
or whatever.
Everything.
And
you
go there
nonsense.
To do the Christmas shopping and buy a perfume or a lovely scarf, but also there's candies. And also it's like the family store that capitalism killed. Right? I assume that's something like that.
That sounds right. Sure. Are you going to Edinburgh Fringe this year?
I am, yeah.
Are you excited?
Mostly filled with dread at this point. As most comedians are at this stage. But I'm excited for what I hope and dream the show might be, but full of dread because I know it is not yet.
Are you not ready for it?
I mean, no, but it is April.
Okay. How much
no
do you rehearse? At what point do you start?
Quite a bit. I mean, at which point I start, the point at which I start is like deep and utter panic and being able to meet up with my director and start doing things. I mean, I've started doing works in progress and things like that. But, you know, sometimes you think of jokes just out of the sky or things that you want to talk about that are funny that you might do in a club but that maybe don't necessarily fit into a theme that you'd like to talk about in a show. And that's sort of the way that I create my stand-up shows because I come from a theater background and a solo performance background that I like to be able to thematically connect things. And I think I'm working toward being able to do that more in my stand-up world. I think my first stand-up hour was sort of a collection of jokes that I had, but that I found sort of a thread to tie through them. And the last one, Unfuckable, was a lot more like, this has got a thesis statement to it.
Amazing.
And I prefer making work like that. You then have to find this middle ground of making something that it works as an hour of here's what I want to say and also as several 10-minute bits that you can then use for another year while you go do stand-up. Yeah, so
somewhere between a TED Talk and a stand-up
show. Yeah, and just like a variety variety hour, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So it's
that sounds like the dream.
Yeah, it's what you dream about, and then the closer you get to the deadline, the more you just go, oh, this is what it is. But nobody wants to be in that dreadful position that you can wind up in, where you are doing a show for 24 days in a row that you just don't believe in, or that you cease to be interested in, or
have you ended up doing that at all?
No, not yet. I think that it's quite possible to be like, oh, this worked at the time, but actually, I don't even feel like telling these jokes. I mean, there are definitely days you wake up at that festival and you're like, I don't feel like doing anything. I don't feel like being alive. I certainly don't feel like talking to people. I definitely don't want to talk to a group of people for an hour about things that I'm claiming are important when, you know, really nothing is more important than sleep. But
agreed.
Yeah, so far, so good, in that I haven't been in the position of being like, oh, I just don't really believe in what I'm saying, or like believe these jokes are funny, or that it's important at all.
Because it's fucking intensive at Edinburgh Fringe, right? Mm-hmm. I've actually never been. Every single year,
lucky.
No, come on. Sounds amazing.
But it only sounds amazing to punters.
Okay.
Everyone who works it is kind of
awful.
Yeah, I mean, it's... There is that sort of arts camp feel to it that can happen where you're seeing
mates and
whatnot.
That's what I imagine, that it is just a massive fuckfest that everybody's just...
It used to be much more of a fuckfest. I think it's becoming so much more pressurized and work-orientated that, yeah, it's just... the first one I ever did was before I lived here in 2009, and I distinctly remember it being a lot more fun. And obviously, the last couple of years that I've gone, I've been working my little tushy off. So it's really just like... All your fun is getting in my way. I've got to get down to the Cowgate for another gig or whatever. And so, like, please just get out of the way. Stop drinking all day long. Please
stop
don't
trying to put your
machines.
Penis on me.
Yeah,
need to get to
right.
Work.
You know, that's what the poster is for. No more penises on me. But yeah, I don't want to be a downer about it. I can imagine that it can be quite fun for people who are engaged in seeing lots of different kinds of work and have the sort of buzz of. And also, you know, if you feel like drinking all day, I'm just in, a time in my life where that just doesn't feel good or interest me as much. And mostly I'm just trying to get out the street without someone I don't really know very well shouting my name out and having to have a conversation and then being like, oh, yeah, what time's your show on? Like, we're going to pretend that we're seeing each other's shows when that's never going to happen. Sorry, I'm just getting so real about it. But I get that people who go are like, this is so much fun. But I stare at them and I'm like, you could be in Bermuda. Like, why would you spend your holiday here? I don't understand. How much do you like comedy?
So this is the part of the chat.
Okay.
Where I ask you, where I put you through the Clubhouse initiation.
Oh, wow. Is there a blood sacrifice?
Yes.
Cool.
Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
How ordered is your life?
Not. On a scale of 1 to 10, 3.5 to a maybe solid 5.
Bit of a hot mess, maybe?
Yeah.
What does hot mess mean to you?
I don't know. It's something that got hurled at me before I knew what it was. And I was like, I remember coming off stage once and my friend was like, oh, girl, you are a hot mess. And I'm like, look, I'm sweating and I just did an hour, so suck it up. But I think it's been embraced a lot more. Yeah. But I think it's a hot mess in comparison to this ideal that very few people achieve, and the ones who do are boring as hell. Like, it's easy to achieve order and the sort of appearance of saintliness when you have one thing going on in your life and you're boring as shit.
Definitely agreed. Do you hate stuff more than you love stuff?
Oh, that's a tough question, because you know what I want to say and what I'm going to say, right? You know? So funny, because I've been told by someone who's like, you're a bit of a hater, aren't you? But it was only because I wasn't into, like, dancing to the Black Eyed Peas at her party. And I was like, this sucks. Sorry.
No, I
can be a little bit judgy about some things. I definitely get that from my mom. It took me most of my life to realize where it came from. And
judging is fun.
Yeah, I mean, it is identifying. At least you know what you're not or what you're not into. But the more you judge things, the more you're setting yourself up for living another decade and finding that you are those things or, you know, actually like those things. So I think that hate and love are much closer together than love and a lot of other things, or hate and a lot of other things. So I don't know. The things that I would love to be more grateful for the things that I love, but it's easier to pick out the things that I don't. Although when I'm around people who are distinctly like hate things, I'm just like, oh, you're so negative. Like, I think I'm much more of an optimistic person that's just like, that's dumb.
I think as long as you're passionate about your opinions.
Yeah.
It's just the middle ground thing that's lame.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, I both love and hate things. I just, I wish that I could do more loving than hating, but it depends on the time of day.
And month.
Depends on the mood. Yeah. I'm quite a moody girl.
Me
yeah.
too. Are you a naked person? I mean, you're naked right now.
Yep, exactly. So I can't deny that it's something that's very important to me. I do feel the most comfortable that way. But it depends on the context, right?
You know? Do you wander around your house naked?
Yeah. And I live on the ground floor, so that's not wise.
You've got a dozen flatmates.
Yeah, no, I finally lived on my own, which is why I can do that. But then it's just like, there's like a whole, like, I will definitely forget and leave the windows like sort of
little treat
shuttered.
For the neighbors.
Yeah, and I usually don't mind a bit of exhibitionism, but now that I'm getting a little bit more recognized, I definitely don't need secret like snaps taken of me. That is a weird thing that happens when you're like, is this person randomly taking a picture of me on the street? Like, that's creepy. Why would
you
do that?
Do they fancy me?
No, I think they just want to go on their Instagram, like, saw this person that you might know from TV outside in the real world, but, like, definitely took an ugly side picture of them just to prove that I was there. I'm like, I have photos.
Yeah, what? Well, I mean,
that
I've
approved.
Do you object to people taking selfies if they ask?
If they ask, I'm usually not that bothered by it. I'm like, that's fine as long as it's not in, like...
But it's weird.
I mean, sometimes
when they take
it's like, I'm
shot.
Trying to go into the toilets right now. I have to pee. So I really don't have time for the selfie. I appreciate that you're excited about the fact that I also pee in the ladies. But,
out in between 1 minute and 12 minutes.
Yeah. I think, but it's just that, because everybody has their insecurities and their vanity and whatnot. And it's just kind of like, also, I'm just in the middle of something. Like, why would you? I don't want to always be looked at. I guess. You know, that's the thing about being a performer is that you get to be a control freak about how you are looked at and when and why. And then suddenly you are in a place where you have no control and everyone's just like, oh, look. And, you know, you asked for it.
This is a weird level to fame then, isn't it?
Yeah. Because I don't necessarily feel that, but other people presume that and then act accordingly. So then they're acting weird around you because they're like, oh, you're you. And you're like, yeah. But literally months ago, you would have just been like, who's this random bitch taking up a place in the queue in front of me, you know?
Is that a weird thing when you're, are you dating at the moment?
No, because it is a weird thing, you know. You try to go on any of these apps. It's nice if somebody.
It's awful, as a norm,
like
me.
A hot, sassy peach nightmare on those things.
Yeah.
And, but it is difficult when someone knows who you are because they already have an idea and a narrative about who you are that you cannot, no matter how much you try to be vulnerable and direct, disabuse them of. You know, they have a story of you and you've spent so much time in your life trying to be like, I'm trying to change the story of me or inform you of what I think that story should be. And they're like, yeah, but no, you're like this. And
I know you better than you know.
Yeah. And nobody,
I saw you on YouTube.
Yeah. And nobody wants to date the person who's like, I know you better than you. You know, like, no, you don't. We haven't met. And also it's an unequal footing because I don't know anything about you and things are always going to circle back around to me in a way that it seems unequally weighted.
But I guess it is a way to filter out the assholes.
I mean, but
isn't
all of the online dating, it's like, well, everyone on here is an asshole, including myself.
River of shit.
It really is.
I got a bit distracted from the quickfire.
Oh, sorry about that. Yep.
Do you worry that Siri and or Alexa are listening to you?
I don't worry, I know. So.
Yeah, but does it bother you?
Yeah, but at this point, you kind of have to be beyond bother. Like, the only hope is that they are gathering so much information, they'll never be able to do anything with it.
Surely.
Like CCTV in the UK, where it's just like, yeah, there are all these cameras here, but, like, you know, probably 20% of them are actually working. Like, they never have the footage they actually need for when a crime is being committed. So, I have to say it sucks, but I don't have kids. So, you know, I'm probably going to be dead before they actually start, like, controlling everything that we do. And I'm pretty psyched about that.
It's going to be lovely
That's
to be
terrible.
Dead.
Happy
dead
about
is
that,
going to be lovely.
Yeah.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
What food or drink do you judge people for ordering?
Yeah, there isn't a food that, I mean, there are just foods that I don't like, but I'm trying to think of things where I'm just like, oh, you're one of those douchebags.
Yeah, who orders the most expensive thing on the menu.
I mean, even people who are like, I'm going to get this 15-pound avocado toast. I'm like, I get it. It's always pretty tasty. And we always pay way too much for those things. And
but it's usually a sort of 3-centimeter wide piece of toast.
Yeah, I mean, there's a place near me that gives you 2 pieces of ginormous toast and whatever with like eggs and salmon and it's amazing. And I feel like a posh cunt for ordering it because it's like you could have made this at your home, you know, like
is
you have avocados.
Is something Americans say? I've ever heard that in an American accent.
Because I've been living here long enough to that I now no longer know who says what, you know.
Can you say bloody hell for me?
but you can only say that and they're like bloody hell. But like that's not even like you can't. That's what every
bloody
American's
hell.
Default British accent is either Cockney or like very, very proper.
Yes,
you know?
the
plus
queen.
Yeah. Which doesn't sound like anything. So if I just said bloody hell, you know, it actually sounds like blood and hell and not like a really fun swear.
Yes.
So when I think it in my head, it is in a British voice.
Amazing.
Yeah, there are certain phrases that I am. But like things like posh, you just say that because you do comedy and people go like, oh, we understand what posh is and you do too. Yay.
Do you think you've become quite anglicized? When you go home, do people go, oh, your accent's really faded?
No.
No.
I think that because my accent tends to – my ex used to say that I do sound more – slightly more British in inflection and intonation when I'm just sort of here. But when I speak to any of my American friends on the phone or in real life, I sound more American. I think I'm just sort of adaptive in that – middle child, right? So like adapt to the situation a bit. I mean that's a thing that that irritates me to a certain extent. Like when grown people who have moved to the UK pick up like a weird hybrid middle of the road accent. I mean, maybe it's just a thing that happens to some people, but I kind of feel like part of me being interesting at all is being American, so I'm just going to try to stay that way. But it just sounds so weird when everyone has this like bullshit Madonna accent.
I was just going to say Madonna, right?
Yeah, and other people have it. And it's like you're not – like you grew up for – your accent tends to be formed from your youth. Maybe if you lived here for like 20 years, things are going to get a little bit mixed because at some point you're like, do we say – schedule or schedule? Like, what do we say? You know, you just forget. And so it gets mixed.
Yeah.
One thing that's happening to me all the time is just saying, mate.
mate. Meanwhile, all the English people are saying, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do you ever get lonely?
Pretty much a default state.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That sounds sad, but I'm just going to be honest and own up to it. Mm-hmm. I feel mostly lonely. And then especially the more work that I'm doing, you know? Because, the busier you are and the more successful you are and the more people are like, oh, wow, you're doing so much. And you're like, yeah, I don't really have very much time to be a person. I'm trying to work to rectify that. It got really difficult last year, but it was definitely probably one of the busiest years on record for me. And I think I've been quite lonely for a majority of my life. I think that's part of the function that comedy serves is to feel any kind of sense of connection and belonging. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to be better about being less of a workaholic to mask that loneliness and just to actually reach out to people that I care about because life is short and we'll all be gone soon.
Yeah. I think, though, that your job must sort of feed the loneliness thing because – I found this a tiny bit like as when my books have come out and you get loads of attention and there's all this like sort of people are talking to you and giving you compliments all the time. And it must be like when you're on stage and everybody's clapping and shouting and then you kind of go off or go home.
Yeah.
And it's just this sort of weird
and there's
love.
Nothing but the bottle
the
waiting for you. But I mean, I think that does have to do a lot with the sort of tendency toward addiction and things that you find in people who are creative. I mean, I think a lot of what we do is to try to seek acceptance and belonging. And then paradoxically, when people see that and applaud you, it isolates you even further from them when you were kind of like, do you love me now? And I think that, you know, unfortunately, we seek that outside of ourselves as opposed to knowing that we have value and that we can belong as we are. But that's part of whatever, what drives, you know, the world as we know it. Sure. And so, yeah, after you do these, especially because sometimes you're on the road and you're going back to a hotel room or, you know, a couch that you're crashing on, and you have a lot of connections with people that don't ever exist again. Mm-hmm. And so it feels like the world is full, but the more clips that are in your highlight reel, the more you feel like this sort of isolated eye observing them and not like part of any of those pictures that you have. So, yeah, loneliness is real.
Weird
and frequent
world we live
and consistent.
In now, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think everybody's feeling that to a certain extent. Yeah. And some people know how to cope better than others, you know. Yeah, so.
Well, on that note, you've survived the initiation that isn't really an initiation.
Oh, yeah, right? I'm so sorry because I did not have enough good answers to
here
that.
Here is your welcome discussion to the clubhouse goodie
bag. Oh, my
bag.
Gosh, there's a welcome bag. Are you kidding me? Is there a pick and mix inside?
Let's almost. See.
Oh,
it's
my
more
gosh.
Chocolate.
There are treats. So many treats. This
do you actually
awesome.
Like chocolate? A bit? You do drink, right?
Yeah, I do. Yes,
okay,
that's kind of.
I
don't
know
as much, but I do
as
drink.
We really like drinking.
Yeah, I know. We just cannot keep up with the amount of. We haven't been doing it since we were kids, and so yeah, I had two
really
glasses
like
of
it.
Wine the other night, and I was like, well, I still feel messed up from Sunday.
I
still feel like meh. Yeah. And everyone's like, ah, you don't need water. Just have another drink. Suck it up.
Yeah, we get really angry when people try and have
try to be healthy.
Like, water between or even just not drink. We get
so
angry.
So yeah. And it's like no one's judging you. I mean, everyone's judging, but no one's judging you for wanting to drink, you know.
We encourage it. Yes.
Yeah.
Especially when the sun is out because of, oh yeah, so do you actually like chocolate? There's
a
lot of chocolate in there.
There's there are all kinds of know what a Revel is, and
oh
so I will
gosh.
Find out.
They're amazing. They're
Whispers I know. There's something from Kinder, which is always a good good shout. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So we have to I've already been talking to you today.
Yeah,
sorry
ages, I
but
do.
I have to ask you about your new show on Netflix.
Ah, yes.
Flinch,
yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, I can do.
looks amazing.
It should be really, really fun. It was insane to do.
Insane, yes.
Yeah, I mean, well, they told everybody a very limited amount, like just enough to get us involved. And usually all you have to do is say Netflix, and then people are like, yeah, I'm there. And it is essentially an assortment of challenges that are created that are designed to make you flinch as a human being. So things coming at your face or loud noises or, other sensation, just sort of interactions with animals because we filmed this in a barn outside of Belfast, right? Yes, in a barn.
Why
like
not?
You do. So they shipped everyone up there and then out to a barn. And it's myself and Lloyd Griffith and Sean Walsh are the presenters.
Did
and
you
so
know them before? Or?
I did not. Oh. They knew each other, so sure. They were already mates. I didn't know either of them before having done the show. So that was, you
did
know.
Did you watch Strictly?
I didn't. It was interesting because we were doing the ADR for the show while Sean was filming Strictly. So, you know, like you only see the sort of I didn't watch it. I only like heard about all the stuff
all the
that
drama.
Went down. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which, you know, I mean, like, it sounds like that show functions on at least one drama per series,
I think
right?
That one might have been the most insanely like breaking up and getting off with each other.
Yeah,
yet.
Well, yeah. I mean, Sean is a sweetheart, but you can't fuck around on
don't
your girlfriend on her birthday. On her birthday. On her birthday.
Yeah, that was dark, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Don't let him dance with you.
Yeah, but
don't
also is
him.
That not the problem with the show? I mean, it's things
so
like Love
sexy.
Island and things like that where it's like you are literally transmitting oxytocin to the other person by holding them and being in their presence so much for so long. It is nearly impossible
surely.
Not to fall partly in love with someone that you're in that much human contact with. Like that is the way that we are designed. Obviously, we have executive function to try to make some wiser choices about what we do with that information. But it's hard not to feel it. And then as a comedian, we're so thirsty in general for love and acceptance, and just, and I know especially a lot of comics who were not accepted as young people find that the acceptance of being well-known is intoxicating. So
yeah.
I completely get how it could happen, and yeah. I totally have sympathy, but also you kind of have to have sympathy for her more because she got like deeply yeah. fucked over, and that
Indeed.
Sucks. And in such a public forum, I mean, that's the hardest part, is that these things could happen in private and they'd be painful, but at least they'd be yours.
Yeah, you absolutely. Know? Yeah, I couldn't handle being famous at all.
Yeah, yeah, no. I mean, I don't know how anyone handles it.
Would you do Strictly?
Oh, yeah, in a heartbeat. At least you learn how to dance. Like,
yeah,
that's great.
And
you know,
hot sex with your partner.
Yeah. Whatever, who's probably already married to some other, like, Russian
fine.
Dancer or something who's, like, impeccably beautiful. But, like, it's at least you get to, like, I love that because you're actually learning some kind of a human skill that's really wonderful.
Skill.
And then you're getting all made up and put into, like, fancy outfits. And, yeah, you know, I think no matter how far you get, it's an exhilarating experience to have people watch you dance, because it's kind of like having people watch you have sex, only much more attractive.
Yeah.
You know, because nobody really looks as good as they imagine they do when they're having sex.
Yeah.
Like, I would never – I don't get people who video themselves. I'm like, the angles are all wrong.
I think I tried it when I was, like, 19, when I was first – first.
That is the only time that you should try it.
It's also when I tried, like, every single thing.
Yeah.
I was like –
you're ticking boxes off. You're like, we're doing all the sex stuff. All
yeah.
the sex. Where's
yeah.
the list of sex stuff?
It was awful. It was all awful. Just like missionary. That's it.
Well, it is the place in which I can get the most gratification potentially with the least amount of work. So
Perfect.
Who doesn't love that? That is
yeah.
the capitalism.
I don't want to have
sex.
To put in any effort, for God's sake.
Yeah, and everyone's like, oh, get on top. And I'm like,
oh,
I will wrestle
fuck's
you
sake.
For it. Fuck that.
I've had dinner.
Yeah. And I'm just like, I'm sorry. My knees are shot. You're going to have to, we're going to have to figure out.
Yeah.
I mean, now I now understand the equipment, like the sex furniture that they sell. I'm like, oh, I need a like sex bench or something. You know, because I just, you know, because there are positions you want to do, but like, I'm not like as flexible as I'm going to get. I think that at some point everyone gets a sex related injury
yeah.
of some sort. Like, you know, like you just wake up and you're like, oh, your hip's all out of sorts, or you've like sprained a wrist or something. You know, like we all get those.
Yeah.
I'd love to not leave in a bandage.
But also you're supposed to get fully naked and I've just got bits flapping about. So uncomfortable.
Of
it's
course.
Like trying to do sport without wearing a
sports bra. That is exactly it, you know. And so, yeah, you kind of have to get – I think that if you have sex with men, they tend to never really care or pay attention to that. They're so much more visual and they're
yeah.
and they've got this sort of imagination thing and they're just excited to be looking at boobs.
Yeah.
Whereas yours is like, that ham slam noise is really getting to me and like we're going to have to change it up, or like
really
it's hilarious that this music came on while
yeah.
we were doing, you know, like, yeah. There's yeah. so many funny stories where like where they don't even pay attention and they're like, what? And you're like, do you not get that? I guess we just have more time to think.
Yeah, maybe. We're
yeah.
just more distracted.
Yeah, yeah.
Just going through our to-do list.
Yeah.
Lying there. Oh, and I was going to ask the Netflix show. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
So,
yeah, we got completely off. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Did you do any of the challenges yourself?
Yes, we all had to do at the end of every episode and every recording, because we have certain participants are ones that we've randomly chosen to represent us and our point scale. And so ultimately the forfeit that we have to do at the end is the one of us that's gotten the most points. We've had the most sort of duds as far as people who could not stand up to the challenge have to face one of our own. So we each randomly lost at some point and had to do one of those challenges ourselves. So yeah, I definitely had to do a few of them.
How are you with fear?
I mean, I think that everybody has their own things that upset them. I'm pretty okay with stuff that, like, you know what's going to come. But there were plenty of activities where if you've got a brass band behind you and you don't know that, and then suddenly cymbals go off behind your head, you're going to flinch. That is a human response to loud noise and danger. We have spent many millennia adapting these skills. And then this one show is like, hey, look at you, evolved human being. Look here, fucker. You know, like, you're going to, like, anytime you're in, you have your head trapped in a box and then they release rats at your face.
Oh, my God.
I did not have to do that, but someone else did. One that I had to do that I thought was rather clever was there was this sort of choo-choo train of bad smells. And so the flinch is just based on smell, which is great to like confront a different sense rather than vision or even sound. So it was really clever just to be like, here's some like, you know, stinking bishop cheese and here's some rotting meat with maggots in it. The rotting meat was the hardest one. And then there was that, there's that not Swedish fish, Norwegian fish, whatever, you know, that fermented fish thing.
Oh, God, yeah, that thing. I just can't handle it.
Yeah. It would be all right. You know,
so you were pretty good at the challenges.
I was fairly good. The cymbals going crashing behind my head, there was no resistance to. But I didn't
That's just instinctive, surely.
Yeah, of course. I didn't have any of the ones with the animals. I think other people got animal ones. And I think both Lloyd and Sean were a little bit more trepidatious around certain animals than I was.
Yeah, get Rebecca to tune into the ones where Sean's getting tortured.
Oh, okay. So. Yeah, right, just to be like, just a little warm spot in my
Move
heart.
Move those rats closer to his face.
I also didn't have to do any of the ones with fire, which is fine in general.
Oh my God,
but
fire.
Yes, but I'm because of my hair, which everyone can see in an image of me, I'm quite a flammable person. Like, I definitely at fancy dinners with candlelight accidentally set parts of my hair on fire. So like that would have been honestly for
That's
me, I'm just
a lovely smell.
Yeah, right. Burnt hair. I mean, when it's in a beauty shop, there's something comforting about it. But like over an open flame, totally disgusting. Yeah, I think it's little things. Like I just didn't want anything to mess up my hair.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's the extent of my fear in this thing. If it's As long as it doesn't mess up my hair, we can totally do this.
Amazing. Thank you so, so much.
Thanks
for
having
me. Today,
Thank
Desiree.
You for my welcome
you are
bag.
Amazing.
This is
Not
so
at all.
Sweet.
Is there anything else you'd like to plug before we?
I will say that you should come and see my show in Edinburgh this summer if you are up that way. I will be on tour actually in the UK in the fall. The show is called Desiree's Coming Early. Come check it out. So I'll be on at the Hive at 7:40 in Edinburgh, and I'll be probably in a town near you, circa October, November. I also have a Comedy Central special coming out in May. So check that out if you have Comedy Central.
Amazing. And you've got a mailing list, haven't you? So maybe just
sign
up to that.
Yeah, I'm at DesTheRay on Twitter and Instagram and that kind of thing. So you
Follow
can find
all.
Me there. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you everyone out there for joining me. Please rate and subscribe if you have a minute. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you everyone out there for listening with those lovely ears. Next week on the podcast, we have the very brilliant and hilarious Natasha Demetriou in a special live recording at Waterstones. Please do join us for the fun.